Today is still January 23rd, 2019. This is episode number 498 of the Apple Context Machine. The Apple Context Machine. That's what I like to call it. That's a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief, co-founder of TMO. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note over on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/contextmachine. I am joined today by Andrew Orr, or as he is known on social media, Andrew or not. Andrew has been writing for TMO for a little more than 2 years now, taking on ever more responsibilities as time marches on. And honestly, I expect even greater things from him in the future. You have been warned. Hello, Andrew.
Yeah, so first I was on TDO and then back remote and now ACM. You guys just can't get rid of me.
I cannot. No. You are a welcome voice at TMO, and I mean that in a bunch of different ways, a plenipotentiary bunch of ways. I think I'm doing. Let me listen. See, plenipotentiary. Let's see if I've got that right. Sausage making right now. Plenipotentiary means, let's see if I did this right. Sausage, by the way, this is sausage being made as we speak here. Person. Oh no. No, I'm completely misusing that. Oh, that's fantastic. So hold on.
Ooh.
Okay, now I've erased that and no one has any idea that I completely used the wrong word in the wrong context.
What word?
Exactly. Well, this is your first time on ACM, and I appreciate you being here. I appreciate your perspective. You probably don't know this, but I've been talking a lot about you behind your back.
Really?
Yeah. It, mostly good stuff, though, I assure you. At least as far as you know. And I appreciate your perspective. I appreciate the perspective you bring to TMO, and I'm certainly glad to have you here today.
Yeah, it should be fun.
All right. So our first topic is social media and photography.
Yes.
Okay. Our second topic.
Sorry, I just drink of water.
I caught you unawares. That's fine. This topic was actually brought about because Andrew, I have enjoyed following Andrew on Instagram, and I was chiding him for not having posted anything, and that's when he informed me that
I deleted my Instagram account.
Yeah, you did, and delete your Instagram account. And why did you delete your Instagram account?
Because I'm just so sick of Facebook and whatever they touch. And with Instagram specifically, there's this whole focus on these quote-unquote influencers, and they're trying to, like, push you towards following other accounts, and I try to follow, like, photographers and other people that I know, and all these influencers, they have, you know, sponsored posts, which is fine. I mean, they got to make money, but I just don't agree with that. So finally, I just deleted my account.
Did this have anything to do with the fact that I made you re-engage your Facebook account to help admin the TMO Facebook page? Fine, if I have to have Facebook, I'm going to get rid of some other Facebook product.
That may have been a factor.
All right, fair enough. Now, here's the interesting thing about Facebook. So there's two things. I always make this point. Like we spend a lot of time. I spend a lot of time on the show. When Jeff Gamet was still with us, and he and I did the show every week, we spent an awful lot of time complaining about Facebook. And then since I've been bringing in guest hosts every week, complaining about Facebook is still a common staple. The thing is, though, I do like Facebook groups. I don't know if you've... Have you been involved with a Facebook group?
Yes. I've been several over the years. I did like those, too.
I like how they make it possible for people to get together and communicate online. It's sort of like separate but equal. I mean, I don't know, there's a Venn diagram of some sort with like Facebook groups and forums, internet forums. Mm-hmm. Right? They both share some similarities, but they do a lot of things very differently. So despite all the complaining I do about Facebook, I like Facebook groups and I enjoy our Context Machine group. So, you know, that's why I continue to promote it, even though I complain about Facebook all the time. But the other thing about Facebook that I like is I like Instagram. I probably spend the most social media time on Instagram, and I very much enjoyed following your posts. I always liked seeing what new perspective. I like the artistic side of you that I would see on Instagram. Yeah. I'm bummed that you quit.
Yeah, I guess for me it was more just based on principle, I guess.
Yeah,
because I am still posting my pictures somewhere. I've been using a lot of VSCO lately.
VSCO? VSCO, that VSCO?
Yeah.
You've written about them because, at GMO.
Yeah, I've written about them before. Speaking of artistic sides, I like VSCO because it focuses more on the creative side, the artistic side of photography, and less on, like, how many followers you have, how many people you can influence, and all that kind of thing.
Fair enough. What is their privacy policy?
You know, I'm embarrassed to say I haven't read it.
Hold on. Back up. Are you telling me that you quit Instagram in part because of their privacy policy and you went to another social media platform, but you didn't read their social policy, their privacy policy? Their privacy policy.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. You are aware of how utterly lame and ridiculous that is.
I know.
Okay, all right. As long as you know.
And I will eventually read the policy.
Well, okay, I have a challenge for you. Okay. Read it and then report on it for TMO. Like, tell us what you find in this. Because one of the things about VSCO is that they have a paid account level. Like, you can join it for free, and you get various, I think you get, like, I don't know, you get X amount of filters and other services for free. But then if you pay 20 bucks a year, you get access to more services, more filters, more photography stuff.
Yeah, you actually get a lot of stuff for free. So I am actually part of their membership program, and that gives you...
You mean the paid
one? Yeah.
Okay.
They're really big on what's called film emulation, basically using special settings to try to copy what certain cameras are doing and what certain films are doing. Mm-hmm. So, like, they have this whole process where they take one of those old school analog films. They use like this special AI system that they have to digitally scan it and copy it, and then they release that as a special filter, and they have, as part of this membership program, they come up with a new filter every month.
Okay. So because this is a paid level, there is a chance that you aren't the product.
I would hope so.
Well, no, there's a chance that you were not the product. We just don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to find out for us.
I will.
All right.
I will write up investigative reporting.
And find, well, it's more like analysis. it's not investigative reporting. Come on, man. And what I would want to see in that is if there is a different privacy policy for the free account versus the paid membership.
As far as I know, there isn't.
Well, I know you're going to find out for sure.
I will. Yeah, I will. I'll dig into it.
All right. So if I want to see your photography, which I do want to see your photography, I should get over on Visca. Any chance you're going to come back to Instagram?
I don't know.
I mean, so like, you know, the thing with influencers is this. First of all, most people are, there was a time in my life when what I'm about to say would have been said with malice and superiority. Most people are sheep. And I'm not saying that with malice or superiority today, because I certainly have my own sheep-like qualities. Most people are followers. Most people, leaders are rare. And the thing with Instagram in particular and their focus on influencers is that those influencers keep people engaged. And that is why their algorithm is constantly trying to steer you and me and anyone else towards the influencers, is because those folks keep us engaged theoretically. I don't, to my knowledge, I don't follow any influencers, but I see them in my whatever the random feed is. I certainly see them.
Yeah.
So
indeed, they have like in their explore section.
Yeah, the explore.
That's section. Where they do that.
Yeah. Right, and so my point is that I understand why they do that. I just choose not to follow them. Actually, I'm super picky about following anyone. I don't want to follow someone unless I actually want their photographs in my feed. And that's right. Because I actually enjoy looking at my feed, and the more noise there is in my feed, the less useful it is. Like I'm at the point right now where I'm actually going to have to trim some people, I think. Yeah. So if you're one of the few people I follow and you suddenly find me not following you, you can just assume that I was bored by you.
But see, another reason, and this ties into the discussion we had before, is that Instagram has all these ads and sponsored posts, and Visco doesn't, even if you're a free user. And I mean, I like I said, I get that these people need to have a way to make money, but it just got to the point where there was an ad like every two posts, I think it was, two or three.
Yeah, I was noticing last night that it was seems like it's averaging every third, fourth post now for me.
Yeah,
and that's a lot of ads. Here's the thing, though, Andrew. I'm interested in many of these ads. Like, Instagram does a way better job of targeting me. I have shared ads with people, although Instagram makes it. Have you ever noticed Instagram it's very difficult to actually share an ad, because they only want you to be able to share it to people you're following. And usually, like, what I want to do is copy paste it and send the link to someone, not share the post through Instagram.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I didn't notice that.
Whatever. Instagram does an incredibly good of targeting me. I have seen all kinds of products that I am interested in, and I'm pretty sure I've bought a couple of things. Yeah, you know that Lord of the Rings hoodie that I sometimes wear? The one with the JRT, and it's got the elvish going around the, you know, because I'm like a total dork. I'm pretty sure I got that from an Instagram ad.
Oh. So, I mean, that's okay, though. Like, ads, some people don't mind ads and they get useful things out of them. I'm one of those hard-nosed people that won't click on an ad even if it has something I would be interested in. Like, I'm just that, like, I don't know.
Obstinate?
I just don't like
stubborn?
That. Yeah, obstinate. Yes.
You know, those ads are paying for whatever it is that you're looking at. You know that, right?
I do.
You know that now because I went off the rails in our pre-show.
Well, no, I knew it before. And sometimes I would, like, scroll through quickly so I wouldn't see the ad. Confession.
You know, the funny thing to me is that Instagram ads, I mean, I share some of your stubbornness there, and I resent the intrusiveness of all the sponsor posts on Instagram. But the reality is that I have been interested in several things. And so I'm not, there's a limit to how much I'm going to, you know, how much of my face I'm going to slice off just to spite my face. So there's that.
So,
yeah. So VSCO, how do we find you on VSCO? It's VSCO.co.
Yes. And I use pretty much the same username across all my accounts just because I like the continuity.
Yeah, no, smart.
So I am also Andrew Ornott over there, too.
O-R-R-N-O-T?
One R.
Oh, one R. Really?
O-R-N-O-T.
Why didn't you use the two Rs? That's your name.
Yeah, there's actually a story behind that.
Lay it on me. I do want to hear it.
All right. So I'm never, like, whenever I make an account, I was never good at creating a name.
Okay.
It would always just be something boring or dumb. But back in when I was in middle school, I think it was, there's a certain teacher I had. He was like a goofball. He was a really funny teacher. He was my science teacher. And he would kind of tease me. Whenever he would hand back assignments to the class, he would hand them out one by one. And then whenever he got to me, he would hand the paper and say, Andrew. And then he'd, like, rip it away out of my hand and go, or not, and give it to someone else. So.
Speaking of dorks.
Okay. So that's the story.
So that's where you, all right. So, but that doesn't actually answer my question. When you went to apply that to your social media presence, why wouldn't you have spelled that O-R-R-N-O-T?
I think maybe I did at first, but I thought it just looked weird. I don't remember now.
All right. Kids. Kids these days, let me tell you. All right. So speaking of kids these days, augmented reality. that's a bad segue even for me. You wanted to talk about AR, and I think it includes, like, where we're going and stuff like that. So what was on your mind? I stopped you immediately and said, okay, that's a great topic. Let's talk about it. So I have no idea what you're going to say here.
Yeah, me and John talked about it for a couple minutes, I think. Yeah, I've written about this before. I like what Apple is doing in AR. I mean, I just like AR in general. And
why?
I think it can be useful if you apply it right. And I've always been...
What is right?
See, that's the thing. You have to come up with, you know, the killer app for AR. I think probably a good one might be like just in Maps. Like, I've always been, you know, pretty supportive of this rumor that Apple will maybe eventually release an augmented reality headset.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can just picture me wearing these glasses and having this, like, path superimposed on the sidewalk because I'm bad with directions, mm-hmm. and I can just follow this line, mm-hmm. and, I mean, that would be the killer app for me.
Yep, absolutely, yes. Except for it won't be... I don't think Apple will release a headset. I think Apple will release the thing that they once disparaged, which is glasses.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Because a headset...
Apple glasses.
A headset makes no sense for AR. A headset makes plenty of sense for VR.
Yeah.
Where you want to isolate yourself from the environment around you. But AR is the exact opposite. AR is putting virtual things by augmenting reality with virtual things that are added, that are superimposed or you know, immersed into what you're seeing in meat space, as mm-hmm. the cyberpunk world would put it. And therefore, for that reason, and for the fact that Apple is very, very keen, Apple has heretofore been very keen on not having our faces immersed into our devices. So I can't see Apple strapping on a device onto our face, not for AR. So I think that the long rumored AR goggle glass kind of device that we've been hearing about for a couple of years now is more than likely, if it ever comes to market, is going to be much closer to what Google was doing with Glass than what, you know, Oculus is doing with VR.
Yeah. I mean, I think AR can be a very useful tool, but see, I don't use it on my phone very much because I don't want to be constantly holding my iPhone in front of my face.
And yeah. I think
glasses would solve that.
I absolutely agree with that. As a matter of fact, not wanting to hold your phone on the in front of your phone, like the idea, like it's really interesting to me because Tim Cook, Phil Schiller, those two in particular, maybe a couple of other execs, have talked about the importance of AR. Certainly, we've at Apple's recent keynote events, when they've talked about AR, they've talked about how important it's going to be and what a big deal in the future it's going to be. And Tim Cook has talked about their investment in AR and things like that. But right now, that means walking around with your phone held up in front of your face, and that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. Like when you watch people play Pokemon Go, the fact that you can do that is great and that's amazing, but it is an awful way to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
I get mad even just thinking about it because it is such a step backwards in terms of livability and in terms of community. Like the last thing we need with all of the influence of social media and people not engaging in the real world, the last thing we need is for everyone to be walking around with the phone in front of their face, which to me means glasses.
Yeah, that was kind of a funny thing about Pokemon Go. Like, it brought everyone outside together, but we're all standing outside looking at our phones together.
Right. And I'm not dinging Pokemon Go. I'm super excited about, I always forget the name because it's not a good name, but Wizarding World Unite. Wizards Unite, Wizarding World Unite. It's the Harry Potter augmented reality app that's coming. Basically, Pokemon Go, but for the Harry Potter world. And yeah, I cannot wait for that. And I don't know if you ever heard me say this, but if they do not have a companion wand, I'm going to be very mad. I have to be able to wave my wand and have something happen in the AR world. I have to have that. I must have that. I'm entitled to that.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be fantastic. I mean, don't get me wrong. It'd be one thing. It'd be just amazing if walking around and having the Wizarding World insert itself into view on a smartphone or an iPad will in and of itself be literally magical. But uh-huh. I gotta have that wand too. Just gotta have that wand. But what will be way better is when I can do that with glasses.
Yeah. Because otherwise you'll have your wand in one hand and your phone in the other hand.
Yeah. It sounds like a bad porn adventure.
I can see them maybe making a wand because they did have eventually a physical accessory for Pokemon Go.
Oh, really?
It was like that keychain, I think, maybe a wristband.
Right.
Yeah.
It was something. It was something, yeah, and plus it's an opportunity to sell, and I don't know who's behind. I forget who's behind it, but I'm pretty sure that it's the World Universe. Anyway, there's enough money behind that app that I'm sure that they'll have something. But that's not the point either. The point is that the killer app for AR is not having to do it on your phone. You might need your phone. That just occurred to me. That's probably so Google was doing Google Glass, right? And then Google killed Google Glass. And I think a lot of people thought it was probably because the term glass hole. because of Robert Scoble and the shower and that it was those kinds of reasons why Google killed it. I never thought that was the case. But what just occurred to me just now is that Apple will probably make their glasses an extension of iPhone in the same way that Apple Watch is.
Yeah, actually, that's what I was thinking too. It would just be an accessory.
Yeah, the iPhone will be doing a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of CPU. But now you've got data that needs to be transmitted between your glasses and your phone. And can they do this with prescription glasses? That's going to be the interesting thing. It's no small project. Making AR glasses work is no small project.
Right.
It is no small project.
What I just realized? So you mentioned having a connection between the glasses and the iPhone. What if they might be waiting for 5G to do that? Because that's supposed to be, super fast.
Well, but 5G isn't going to really help between your phone and your glasses. That would be between your glasses and a server somewhere.
Okay.
And I think that what Apple, we're going to talk about the iPhone in the next segment, but I think for this that I think for this Apple wants to probably keep that heavy lifting on the iPhone. And that's something that Google couldn't do with Glass because when they were doing Glass, I don't really think they had enough of a hardware business on the Android side to make that make sense.
No, I don't think so. I think back then that might have been when they had the Nexus phones, but I don't think they were too powerful.
Well, I mean, no phones were really all that particularly powerful, but they weren't doing much business with it. It's interesting, and their whole aim was having the glasses do everything, and mm-hmm. I bet you looking at how much Apple Watch depends on iPhone, I bet you the Glass will depend on iPhone too, and that's not just from a business standpoint. It's from a technology standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even sure if they could have a full system like that embedded. Where would they embed that? Like in the glasses somewhere inside?
That's the thing. I mean, like, you know, the Google Glass had that, you know, sort of like, you know, nodule on one side that had the electronics and everything. And that's very limiting. That is very limiting. So I don't know. I don't think Apple's AR vision product, if it comes to market, I don't think it'll be goggles. I do think it'll be glasses. And I imagine now that they will be utterly tied to the iPhone. And that makes sense to me.
Yeah. And Apple being Apple, I would think that they would want to make the glasses look as much as actual glasses as possible without that weird nodule on the side.
Yes. Yes. And right. It is no small task. I wonder if they'll call it the eyeglass. Get it?
I hope so too,
right? Except for the fact that they won't want it to be too close to Google's Glass. I don't know. And keep in mind that that project could still not come to market. Apple might still cancel. Yeah. The thing is though, Apple is making a big deal out of AR. Apple is investing a lot of money in AR. Apple is investing a lot of effort into developing AR kit. Apple is developing, spending money promoting this and working with developers to help them learn AR and make this a bigger part of, you know, more apps. But it makes no sense when you have to hold your phone or your iPad in front of your face and put this device in between you, literally in between you and the world. That makes no sense. It makes a lot more sense to me if all of these are prep steps for when Apple has some kind of glass product.
Yeah, I mean, that was basically what sparked my idea about this, too, just because they talk so much about it, they have so much investment in it, mm-hmm. and we saw recently that sales of certain iPhones, like the XR, I think, maybe didn't do so well, so I thought, well, maybe they will want to release new hardware to try to take everyone's attention away from that.
Yeah, that's a crazy idea
or not.
That's crazy. Wait, so you're saying that Apple would release new products to sell more things? That's crazy. Like Apple, that's not anything Apple does anymore. They used to do that. They used to do that all the time. They don't do that anymore. I'm being sarcastic as can be because Apple doesn't do that anymore, but Apple should do that.
Yeah.
I don't think that a glass product would be released in order to release a new product, not to, you know, take our attention away from iPhone XR. And I mean, that's even assuming that, you know, this glass product might come out this year, might come out next year or the year after, and it might not ever come out. I mean, it is a hard task to do what they're trying, what we believe that they're trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking maybe they would release them alongside the iPhones like they did with AirPods.
Yeah, probably.
So just like in one event instead of having a separate event for it?
Probably. I could even see them being announced at WWDC because they're going to want developers to have content ready to go when they ship. I could see Apple's glasses product being introduced to WWDC. Not necessarily this year. I mean this year. We don't have the level of rumors that would mean that device is in production. We're not going to see that this year.
No, I mean, I've heard a couple rumors that suggested 2020, but again, they're just rumors and it's just speculation.
Right. Yeah, we need that. I mean, we need that. You know, it's interesting. I wonder, I wouldn't be able to use these unless they were. Well, I'm farsighted, so I need glasses for reading for a computer. But after about 3 or 4 feet away from my eyes, my vision is excellent. So, I guess out in the real world, I wouldn't need prescription. I wonder, that's a task in and of itself.
Yeah,
like making them work with prescription glasses. So, would Apple license this out? Or would you be able to get lens? How would that work? Oh my God! What a nightmare of a task.
I wonder if they would sell like a complete set with lenses, and then what if they sold just the frames, and you could like get custom lenses for it, custom prescription ones?
Well, how is the information being projected onto your vision?
I would assume, see, that's what I meant by they would probably make it look exactly like real glasses. So I was thinking.
Yeah, but the glass itself has got to be, unless they're literally projecting data onto the glasses have to be producing that information. So, you couldn't just put other lenses in it.
Hmm.
Boy, this would disrupt the eyeglass industry, though.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, tremendously so. Now all of a sudden, you have this huge percentage of Apple device owners who are getting their glasses from Apple and not from, you know, Warby Parker or your local... You know, your local optometrist. Interesting.
What if they called them EyeSight?
Well, Apple
the EyeSight camera.
Yeah, there's already been two EyeSight products. They could do that. I like eyeglass personally. I see what you did there. I didn't need glasses to see what you did there. All right. Well, I'm very excited by AR, and I'm very excited about the Harry Potter AR app, and I'm going to be super excited when I can have my glasses and my wand.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think the killer app would be besides games? Is there something you would like?
Yeah, information. Useful information. People's names. Notes about restaurants that I've made. Mm-hmm. Right? So, like, you know, don't eat here. Or, like, you know, remember you like this at this place. You know, when I'm driving by, being able to have my shopping list. People's names would be one of the killer apps for me because I'm terrible with names. I have I have a block. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to forget your name. I interact with you every day. But if you left TMO tomorrow and I didn't talk to you for 15 years, I would remember everything about you and almost every interaction that you and I had. But there's a strong chance that I would not be able to put a name to all of those memories. That's just the way my head works. And so, like, information, people's names, the directions, as you mentioned, would obviously be great. Having that use of it. So there's two killer apps. The first is being able to wear it on your face, despite the fact that Tim Cook said that the face is not where wearable computing goes. Mm-hmm. When it comes to AR, the face is precisely where wearable computing goes. And then the second killer app is simply useful information. And what defines useful information is going to be different for everybody.
Yeah, you know, I did think about that aspect, but recognizing people and displaying their names like above their head, I mean, that would require facial recognition and be a whole privacy issue. Hmm.
It's not a privacy issue if that's being stored local to you. It becomes a privacy issue to me when a company is storing that information on their servers and then using that information in ways that are outside of servicing you. So if it's my phone that does the facial recognition and it's my phone that attaches names to faces, that to me is not a privacy issue at all.
But where would they get the names though? Like, would these just be people in your contacts list?
Oh, that's a fair point. What if Apple was, that's a really good point. So what if Apple is matching facial recognition to, because you know, they're doing a lot of this already with photos. So what if they're matching facial recognition to your contacts? So I've added a photograph of Andrew to my address book. And so Apple can match that photograph of you to me seeing you when we're having coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And the Apple can actually do that, keeping the pertinent bits on my phone, as opposed to storing it and adding it to a profile that, you know, they're selling. All right. Apple's been telegraphing just this for a while. In terms of, they talk about all the stuff that Siri does and that it stays on your phone. And that big banner that they had in Vegas, what happens on your iPhone stays on your iPhone.
Yeah.
Right. And that, you know, our third topic is where's the iPhone going? And let me just cut to where I was going to what I told you ahead of time. I wasn't going to tell you ahead of time.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And that is, Phil Schiller said that the iPhone is going to be pertinent and relative and a big part of Apple for the next 50 years. And I think a lot of people, you know, struggle with that from the standpoint of they assume that something's going to change. But what iPhone can turn into is your mobile hub where your other devices are connecting to it. And that could eventually include a Mac replacement. Like iPhone today is not iPad today, in my opinion, as we've talked about, well, not you and I, but as I've talked about several times, iPad is not a a Mac replacement for a lot of productivity stuff. It is a Mac replacement for some productivity stuff, and it is a fantastic Mac replacement for a lot of consumption. But there are different types of productivity that are vastly superior on a desktop or even a mobile computing device, the more so than on a tablet. And, you know, imagine this world where we have a display and a keyboard that are talking to your iPhone, but with something that's a lot closer to what we call macOS today than what we call iOS today. And but when we're using our iPhone, it's more like iOS today.
Yeah.
But when so rather than having a separate Mac, we have our iPhone simply servicing our, you know, holographic display or our you know, our not OLED, what's the other one? The micro dot. What's the micro? Whatever. Anyway, whatever the kind of display it is, big giant display, and
quantum dot.
Yes, quantum dot display or whatever. And that our iPhone is increasingly the hub that we take with us everywhere. And that's why Phil said that it's going to be part of, it's going to be relevant and, you know, part of Apple's future for the next 50 years.
You know, I would love that, actually. And weirdly enough, I actually had a brief conversation with this with John Keat, because I had made some kind of a linked teaser, and my comment was that I think it would be kind of weird if the iPad eventually had, like, mouse support. And he disagreed with me. And then he talked about basically what you did, where what if your iPhone, like, you could walk up to a display and somehow... I know Microsoft has done this before. I think it was called Microsoft Continuum, where you plug the iPhone into this device and suddenly it's connected to, you know, this display, and you're using it just as if it was a desktop operating system.
Well, so, you know, I've mentioned this. I think I've even mentioned this recently. There was this interview with Steve Jobs from, like, 99 at the most. And I've looked for it and looked for it and looked for it. Haven't been able to find it since. Like for like the last 15 years, I've been looking for this interview that he gave. And he talked about the magic of his Next box, Next OS. Do you know? Like you were a tiny. I mean, you weren't even born yet when Next was formed, but Next was his company. Between his stints at Apple.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I don't think I've ever really read about it other than this is where Steve went after he was fired.
So technically Steve quit before he could get fired.
Okay.
He, you know, he lost the big battle with John Sculley. He lost the boardroom battle with John Sculley. And rather than being stripped of all his power and responsibilities, he quit. So he quit before he could be fired, and then he goes off and he takes some Apple employees, and there was a thing about that, and he forms Next Computer, and it was while he was doing Next that he ended up getting involved with Pixar separately, and then eventually, obviously, Apple bought. But Next, and then we get the iPhone, and now we have the iPad today. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he was talking about the magic of like always having his desktop wherever he logged in, because Next was a Unix based operating system, just like OS X/Mac OS is. And So he, you know, didn't matter, like, wherever his various next boxes that he had in, you know, in his house or at his office or whatever, would log in and pull up his, you know, desktop from some centralized place. And I always thought that sounded really magical. That would be just really fantastic if it could be seamless and fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like Apple, you know, it seemed like that got dropped by the wayside. You know, Apple has, John Martellaro and I talked about the fact that Apple has de-emphasized steadily the Unix aspects of OS X for many years now. But
right.
But if you take that same concept and you apply it to iPhone, and you have your iPhone storing all of your data, all of your documents, the apps that you like, your you know, your images, your music, your files, your desktop, and then you can plug that in wherever you are and have it be what you need. So you're doing productivity, you're sitting down at a desk, you've got something again that is a lot closer to what we consider the Mac today. You're you know, at a coffee shop reading news stories, it's a lot closer to what we think of as iOS today. And the form adapts to your purpose at that time, and the tools that you have, the other accessories that you have for accomplishing whatever it is you're trying to accomplish.
You know, this reminds me of when iCloud was introduced. I remember in the keynote, there's a slide where they were describing it, and they described the Mac as your hub with all of these devices connected to it. And then they basically sold iCloud as that's the new hub instead of your Mac. So what if the iPhone became the new hub? I mean, I'm not saying it would replace iCloud, but it would be this new sort of paradigm where,
well, they could both work together.
Other accessories.
They can work together, just like iCloud. I mean, iCloud doesn't really work with your Mac or your iPhone, but kind of does.
Yeah.
But there could be a place for both in the future.
So if you could do that with the iPhone, like connect it to a display and have it suddenly have macOS or a desktop version of iOS, do you think they would still have the Mac at that point?
No, I have no doubt that Apple wants to replace the Mac. And of course, Apple, I mean, like, so this is another thing that Steve Jobs said 20 years ago. Actually, this was more like 22 years ago. It was like 1996 or 97. Before he came back, he said, if I was back at Apple, what I would do is I would milk the Mac for everything, you know, everything that I could get out of it, and then replace it with the next, with, you know, the thing that's going to kill it. Right. And, you know, it's like, it's very clear that Apple sees iOS as the future and macOS as the past. And that's fine as long as the Mac is actually replaced with something that can actually replace it. And in my opinion, iOS cannot replace macOS yet. iPad cannot replace Mac yet, at least not for some people and not for some tasks. It can for other people, and it can for some tasks, but not everything. So, yeah. No, I don't think they'd make the Mac. I don't think they would need to make the Mac. And not unless you needed, like, if you needed extra horsepower for something, I could see a, like, imagine if instead of a Mac, what you had is you had the CPU box. And when your iPhone was near the CPU box, the iPhone can now utilize the CPU box for extra horsepower for accomplishing specific tasks. But you don't need that with you. You don't need to carry that with you in your pocket.
I can I could see that because you can, right now, you can have, like, plug in this external GPU to a Mac.
Right.
Maybe you could do the same thing to an iPhone.
Right. Except you wouldn't need to plug it in.
Yeah.
Listen, when someone like Phil Schiller says that that iPhone is going to be a part of Apple, is going to be a big part of Apple for 50 years, the stuff that I'm prattling on about here is how that makes sense. It really has to go in some different directions with different paradigms for this device to be relevant 20 years from now, let alone 50, 10 years from now, definitely. Let alone 50.
Yeah, they do have to try some new things with it. It can't just be what it is today.
Yeah, phones, because at some point, the ability to make a phone call is going to be so small that it could be, it could be a button, it could be embedded under our skin. It could be, it'll be so seamless. The ability to communicate with other people and to be able to possibly communicate with services and whatnot will be so seamless that it won't be a thing that we hold. Mm-hmm. It won't be a thing that we put in our pocket. It'll be something that's with us all the time, or something, like I said, that's embedded under our skin, etc. I mean, this is for sure the thing that we need to carry with us. This iPhone-like concept that becomes at one point or another, that only becomes necessary if you're carrying around other information and the capability of doing things more than just making a phone call.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's basically something similar to what I was thinking. And I thought it was just because I read too much sci-fi, but I figured the natural evolution of this technology would eventually be implantables. Like, after wearables, we just wear it under our skin.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, the thing that makes a display irrelevant is having the information on some form of glasses, some form of thing that, sits in front of our eyes. And the thing that replaces that is when a device can directly manipulate our visual cortex.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in my opinion, is coming. And I not only read sci-fi, I write sci-fi. I mean, that's coming. That stuff is coming. But we have to have the transition steps before we get there. And the transition steps include something like a pair of glasses that has information for us.
Did you ever read my editorial on when I got the iPad? And I wrote about something that I had been working on for a while, and I call it the Backpack Area Network. Did you read that?
Yes, I did, but refresh me, because despite me claiming earlier that I will remember every instance of every time we've interacted, I don't remember the specifics.
So I was talking about something similar, and I'm pretty sure I mentioned Apple glasses in that one, where I was thinking if technology would become, or at least the iPhone would be more, I don't know what the word is, like modular, so that the glasses would be your screen, the watch would be, I don't know, some kind of processing power maybe. And then, your AirPods would be there too. And if the iPhone would still be around, it would just be like storage and computing power. Like, you wouldn't even need to take it out. It would just be in your pocket.
Right.
And you would have the glasses for everything.
Well, yeah. That could work. Well, that kind of like, I don't know how, I don't know if you want to be I don't know, like if I'm editing a movie, I don't know if I want the app and interface with which I'm editing the movie to be in front of my face no matter where I'm looking. Right? Like I want to be, you know, I want to be able to look over and see, you know, what the heck made that noise. Mm-hmm. And when I do that, I don't want that movie app to be the thing that I'm seeing. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Picture that as a horror movie in 30 years. Like there's a killer in the house and everyone has these glasses on and the killer bursts in the room, but they have like something. Yeah.
No one can see it because all they can see is all the computer generated stuff that they're seeing. Yeah. Okay, but now imagine glasses where I designate a display. I designate my 50-inch display, and I designate the where that display is, the space that it occupies, and that's sitting on my desk. And so now, whenever I move my head, that display, that virtual display, gets projected onto my glasses, right? But if I look away, I don't see it.
Does that make sense? That would be nice. Yeah.
That would work.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I'm pretty sure I had read about some AR concept that did something similar, not with the screen, but just having this object only available in AR, but it was like fixed to a location.
Yes. Apple is doing that now.
Oh, okay.
But again, with your phone in front of your face.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will be a part of the future for sure. Is having virtual objects fixed in meet space, but you know, on whatever display we're using to see it.
Yeah.
All right, I think we have thoroughly. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like something like another scenario that came to mind where you would just have your glasses, like you wouldn't need a computer, you wouldn't need a TV. Like you'd be sitting on your couch staring at the seemingly blank wall, but in your glasses it's this entire interactive thing.
Yeah.
Like decorations and artwork that would all be inside there.
That's coming.
I am excited.
It's both scary, interesting, weird, and exciting. And I already said that twice, but I mean, yeah, it's interesting. All right, though, we are over time. So this is what we do to fix that. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. Or join us over at facebook.com/groups/contextmachine. Our bandwidth is provided by CacheFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. That's all for this week. And thank you very much, Andrew, for joining me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. That was a good discussion.
It was. I thoroughly enjoyed it.